Hello and welcome to episode 50 of This Week in Testing. So welcome. Super grateful for everyone joining today. We made it to episode 50, which is wonderful. And we keep doing this because we have a wonderful audience who's up for listening in. And we also have a wonderful bunch of the community who come up on stage each week and share things with the community, ask really good questions, and start a good conversation about testing. So welcome if this is your first time. Thanks so much for joining us. And if you're listening on a podcast, please do enjoy. So yeah, so this is all recorded. So if you do come up on stage, please be mindful of the code of conduct at Ministry of Testing, which is available at ministryoftesting.com. Just search for conduct in the footer. You can read all about it there. So how this works is I'm going to do a short debrief of some of the things we've been observing here at Ministry of Testing, probably spend 10 to 15 minutes on that. And then I'll open it up to the audience where you can put your hand up, you can come up on stage and bring what you like to the table. So perhaps there's something that you've been working on this week that you'd like to discuss. Perhaps you have a topic of interest that you'd like to spark a conversation around, or maybe you need help with something. So have a little think. Perhaps maybe there's something that I share within the introduction that kind of sparks something in you and you wanted to get a bit deeper into it, then yeah, you're more than welcome to do that. So let us dive in. Okay, so this is very cool. You may have spotted that AJ Wilson has joined the stage already. Now, this is because AJ has joined Team Ministry of Testing this week. She started on Monday. And I say this with positivity. It feels like AJ has been part of the team for much longer than that. It's been an incredible week, and we are super grateful that AJ has joined the team. So AJ has automatically appeared on stage because when you become a content admin within LinkedIn, you are instantly jumped to the stage when you join the event. AJ may join us for the chat a little bit later, but that's the reason why she's there, the reason she is there up on stage right now. So yeah, so big congrats, AJ. We are loving the fact that you are now part of Team Ministry of Testing. Okay, so let's dive into a few things that have been happening. It's good to see some people landing some jobs. It's lovely when we get wind of people who are starting in new places, if they've been looking for a while. So yeah, bug congrats. Another way of saying big congrats, we say bug congrats here to Joe Richard Steele. Joe has joined Solaris Consulting as a test analyst. Congratulations, Joe. Wonderful news. And good news, I read that Stephen Smith has joined as a junior QA engineer at Searchlight Cyber. Congratulations there, Stephen. We've also recently opened up our network to help you find your next opportunity. So if you are looking for your next role, if you tag Ministry of Testing that you are looking, so if you just at Ministry of Testing in a post that you put out on LinkedIn, we will reshare it. As Rosie Sherry, co-founder and CEO of Ministry of Testing, says, our network is your network. So yeah, a couple of folks who are looking right now who have tagged us. So Paul McGraw, so make a note of these names and perhaps look them up after this session. Sarita Nanda, Konstantin Sakchinski, and Cassandra Leung, Deljon, these folks are all open to work. So if you do follow the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn page, have a look through the feed and you'll see that we are reposting those folks. So do go check them out. They are looking for work right now. I also see that Stuart Pates is hiring. Stuart, working at Aviva, hiring for two roles, actually. I see a lead quality engineer at Aviva and also a senior quality engineer. So look for the name Stuart Pates, and you'll see that they have been posting a couple of job roles. And today, actually, we saw a new job go live on the Ministry of Testing jobs board. So as a lead QA engineer at a company called Authorium. So if you head over to ministryoftesting.com, You scroll down to the footer. There's lots of different places you can go to. But if you look for jobs board, that takes you to our jobs board. And there's several jobs on there available at the moment. So yeah, do check them out if you're looking for your next opportunity. Cool. I would really enjoy this. A couple of things around strategy that I saw recently. It was lovely to see Kim Knupp. So Kim's wonderful. She organizes, co-organizes the Ministry of Testing Meetup in Brighton in the United Kingdom. And she was amplifying Kat Obering, something that Kat was sharing. So Kat is a previous contributor to the Testing Planet, which is our one of our monthly online gathering spaces for the community. And I'll quote here, this is what strategy is for. It aligns you and your team on the goal. You can define together what quality means to you and how you can demonstrate it in your product. So yeah, really good point Kim was amplifying of Kat's. And all of this stuff that I share today is available on our newsletter. So just to remind you of our newsletter, everything that's mentioned on This Week in Testing, plus way more stuff that we've been observing that we don't have time to cover in an hour, is available on our newsletter. So if you head to ministryoftesting.com/newsletter, you pop in your email address and we'll send you a newsletter with all the stuff that's happening in the community every week. I was also recently reminded of an interactive talk that we hosted once. There was four community members. So you had Elena Pejan Nystrom, you had the wonderful Karen Todd, Rachel Kibler, and Dermot Caniff. And they were playing a live game, a card game that helps you explore risks called Would You Risk It? This is a card game that Lena Pajan Nystrom has developed. And there's a really good demo of them having a conversation about risks, exploring things, using this card deck. It's a brilliant game. So I think the simplest way to find it, I reckon if you went to ministryoftesting.com, if you type in one of those names, so probably Karen Todd, if you put in the name Karen Todd, you'll see lots of good stuff from Karen, including a link to this live action demo of them playing Would Her Risk It? It's really cool. So do go check it out. Talking about other good things happening in the community, Martin Hinier, I loved what he shared about community and the opportunity to learn. It really resonated. So I'll quote what he shared. He was reminding us that learning and career growth isn't so transactional. And he said the following: it is important to recognize that the conversations, the story sharing, the truly enjoying the journey with those around you during these learnings often has more dramatic impact on how you grow. So a really good reminder that, you know, just taking a course by yourself is not necessarily what it's about. If you can go on that learning journey with a community, it's far more, well, it just enriches the experience, and you know, through learning with others can go a long way. So it's lovely to read that from Martin. I'll include that in the newsletter. As it's a new month, well, actually, it's a new quarter. If we're thinking in quarters. I recently span up a new introductions thread. So this is one of the many ways for you to connect with the community. So if you head over to our forum, it's called The Club. So club.ministryoftesting.com. Look for the introductions thread, Q3 2024. It sounds very formal, doesn't it? But it's far from it. This is a thread that you can add yourself to just to say hi. You can literally just say hi. If you want to say hi, you could share a video, you could share, whereabouts you're based, what you're working on right now, what your experience is, and just connect with those in the community. It's a lovely way also for people who have been part of the community for a while to reintroduce themselves. Perhaps they've gone away for a bit and they've come back, or maybe their goals have changed. But every quarter we put out this introductions thread. So I'd really encourage you to get on there, introduce yourself to the community. So yeah, head over to club.ministryoftesting.com. Other stuff happening in the community. We have a new Leeds meetup has gone live. So Leeds, UK, if you can get yourself to Leeds on the 18th of July, there's a gathering happening there in person, which is wonderful. And all of the meetups that Ministry of Testing is supporting and hosting are available on our events page. So if you head over to ministryoftesting.com/events, you can see all of the stuff that's going on, including finding out about lots of meetups happening across the globe right now. Oh, and just to say, I've spotted a couple of folks have been putting their hands up. Yeah, please do. If you could just hold on a few more minutes, I'll get you up. There'll be an opportunity to get folks up on stage. I'm just going to finish up sharing a bit of a debrief of the week, and then we get you up on stage. But thank you so much for putting your hands up already. What else have we got going on? So these podcasts, so you might be listening to this as a recording, or you might be listening to it live right now, but we have turned This Week in Testing into an official podcast. Yeah, so not only can you get access to This Week in Testing via ministryoftesting.com, look for the podcast link and you find it there. You can access it on YouTube. And now very recently, we are putting the podcast out on all the major platforms where you grab your podcast. So for example, that would be on Spotify, that would be on Apple Podcasts and all the other places that you can get your podcast. So you can subscribe and be notified of new episodes and all that good stuff. So that's wonderful. So thanks to Graham and the team behind the scenes for making that happen. It's very much appreciated. Okay. We also have recently put live all of the talks from the Testing Planet that we had recently. So it was all centered around communities of practice, like how can communities of practice help you, why you should bother with getting involved with them, tips on how to set them up internally, tips on how to get involved. So we got stuff from Beth Marshall, Alex Reynolds, Tristan Lombard, Jude Ponticus, Kulas Angeles. Myself and AJ had a really good chat with Christine Pinto. We were looking at some trends information and spotting trends on what's happening with people and their thoughts and experiences with communities of practice. So all of those talks are now available. Do go check them out. Again, you can head to ministryoftesting.com, search for the Testing Planet. And I think off the top of my head, without checking my notes or searching for it, we have about 17 talks now available, which is wonderful. So building up a good collection. We have talks on AI and testing. We also have discussions on automation and also tooling, as well as communities of practice, which I've just shared. Great. Well, quick time check. It looks like I've got to 15 minutes. I'm scrolling down my list of notes that will go into next week's newsletter, and there is a lot more to come, but I'm going to stop there. I'll stop there. I could get lost down a rabbit hole and continue talking for the next hour, but my voice is breaking up, and it's probably the right time for more people to come up on stage. AJ, if you want, I did see you on mute very briefly earlier on. If you didn't want to jump in, go for it. Otherwise, I will say to the audience, please do put your hand up if there's something on your mind. Perhaps there's some things that you're spotting in the community that you'd like to discuss. Maybe you've tried something out at work this week and you want to just tell us how your week's gone and celebrate some of your wins, or you maybe want to celebrate someone in the community. Do a shout out to someone who's been helping you or supporting you, or you've been reading some good stuff. Then now's the opportunity to do so. I would love to hear from you. And we'll go from there.
Hi, Simon.
Hey, AJ.
How are you today?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good.
I was watching this morning, but it's polite to ask.
Yeah, totally. Be like, wow, so rude. We didn't ask how each other's doing.
I joined the event just because I love listening every week. I forgot that I was part of the team.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So it wasn't my intention.
Oh, that's cool.
I just love listening because I love the topics we cover, and I love meeting new people and seeing what everyone's been working on, what they think's fun. Yeah, so yeah, I'm just going to hang out.
Love it, AJ. And yeah, and it's been a wonderful week working with you. Lots of very exciting things that you can get involved in when it comes to sort of concept of it providing insights, gathering good data, spotting trends. I mean, the opportunity is immense, right? So to have you part of the team to lead on those efforts is very, very exciting. And I see that Emily O'Connor has put their hand up. So Emily, let's get you up on stage. It'd be lovely to hear from you.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Emily. How's your week in testing been?
Yeah, really good, thanks. I was surprised that that worked effortlessly. You just get whizzed up onto stage immediately.
It's magic. I mean, there are times we've had people whiz up onto stage. There's no audio, and sometimes they just disappear, and they sometimes reappear. So
I'm
this
not
is good.
I'm going anywhere.
This is good. So, yeah, and how has your week in testing been?
Really good, thank you. So I live in Leeds, what you just mentioned, with our next Ministry of Testing meetup. So Leeds is in the north of England, and we alternate with York. So York's maybe, I'm going to say, a half an hour train journey away. So we meet up one month and then York meet up the other month. And it just means that people have always got one that's a bit closer to them. In my week, I work for a really small consultancy. So we work across a wide variety of industries. So I'm currently working across like agriculture and also transport. And the reason I mention it is because, unlike working for a brand, we have test engineers who are the only testers on their project or the only tester working for a particular client. So this week I've been working on a process I want to kind of bed in, and I'm calling it test review. I don't know if that's a good name. Basically, the idea is that a more senior tester will like have a meeting with the lead test engineer on a project and ask them questions to do with our engineering principles, just to see how the testing's going and if they need any support, or if the system's got loads of bugs, or yeah, just like a continuous improvement meeting. So we have these engineering principles that are all to do with delivery and quality, observability, performance, scalability, availability, automation. Did I say documentation already? I think that's all of them. And, you know, obviously, if we can enable these, then the test engineer can ensure that we're building a quality product. So, you know, if you've got automated tests running in a pipeline, that's going to help with delivery. If you're doing testing that's aligned with a test strategy, that's going to help with quality. If you've got test cases that document the business logic on which they reply, that's really well documented. But yeah, as we're a consultancy, if that person goes off sick, we need to sub in another tester to kind of help with that stuff. So your documentation always needs to be like on point, and yeah, like to try and support people and their projects. And I think in theory, it's a very good idea, but in practice, I'm not sure what's going to happen right now. So that's been the majority of my work this week, to be honest.
Wow. Oh, Emily, thanks for sharing. I mean, that I got so many questions about it. I'd love that approach, because my brain was buzzing towards like you the way you described all those principles, and that you were then marrying up, say, features of your testing approach. Like, if we do this, it connects with this principle. If we do this, it connects with this principle. And then I was also thinking about, it would be amazing as a community, and perhaps maybe you'd be open to starting this, or we could work on that together. Like this list of questions that you're asking to check in with their engineering principals to kind of see where they're at. I mean, that would be an incredible crib sheet to kind of put out to the community and build upon it to also help other folks who are in this sort of situation, you know, regardless of what industry they're working in.
Principles. If you work for a company, you might perhaps take for granted some things. So for example, I recently started on another project. We don't have a test environment yet. Like, that's something that's got to be spun up to facilitate the project that we're doing, because yeah, it's completely greenfield. If you're working for a company, you don't think to ask, have you got a way to create some test data? Have you got a test environment? You already have those things which can facilitate testing and can facilitate quality. So that's the kind of challenges that we have.
Wow. I mean, AJ, go for it. I saw you unmute. Please jump on.
I was just going to say to Emily that I've had very similar experiences, but that those check-ins that you're doing and support that you're giving, it's called different things in different places as well. So historically, it used to be called peer review, because peer reviews aren't just for documentation, it's for everything, including people. And then more recently, now that quality engineering has been here for like the last 10 years as a terminology, it's more called health check. So health check in a wider domain in Scrum, Kanban and Waterfall is where you check on the psychological safety, the well-being, etc. But health check is also part of product health. Yeah. So when, normally when you onboard a new product or a startup, for example, in previous companies, part of that product or that health check was, I know this might seem like a silly question, but do you know how to make data? Do you know how to generate data? Where are you storing it? Just looking at the whole ecosystem, like a checking the body, like are all the organs there? Is the skeleton there? Just that kind of thing. And so I think it's something that everyone encounters at some point. And when you're that person that's very senior and you have to think about everything all the time, it's very challenging. So I can imagine what you've had to deal with in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I've tried to kind of, the reason I've divided it per engineering principle is because your factors are all going to relate to that underlying thing. You know, if you don't have an environment that you can do UAT in, then you can't run a pipeline against particular things. So I've tried to divide it up in that way. For me, the words health check is like the endpoint. If you see that the environment's up and, you know, how long releases take and stuff. So I wouldn't have thought to call it that. But that does help me.
Yeah, I like it. It makes me wonder as well, like how might you prioritize those principles? Are there principles that are more important than others, or have you found that you'll put them on kind of an equal level pegging because they're all as important as each other? Does that prioritization help in any way?
I stole the underlying concepts. Well, I say stole. I mirrored the underlying concepts from a book. I'm really sorry. So it was Ash Winter, but I can't remember who we co-authored it with, and the 10 P's of testability. So it's all to do with this is where I can't remember any of the P's. The only one I can think of is performance.
Don't worry, Emily. We can share a link to that, and folks can follow up on those pieces.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
absolutely, a popular book, that's for sure, from Ash.
But in that, there's kind of an implied order that you've got to have some sort of infrastructure, some sort of DevOps, some sort of quality checks that a tester is not just responsible for. So that's where my order came from.
Yeah, that's very similar to me. But it was before the book was co-written with Robert. It was it's not all the 10 P's, but if you think of like a tech radar or a product health radar, all the different aspects that you would go through. So product, process, project, the pipeline, productivity, production issues, product support. It's not the same exactly as what's in the book, but yeah. Number one is always people, and that's what I do like about that book and the original kind of radar methods, is making sure that people are always thought about first.
So for folks who want to follow up on that book, I've just managed to find it. It's Ash Winter and Rob Meaney, Team Guide to Software Testability, Better Software Through Greater Testability. And it looks like we might have lost Emily there. Ah, so the technology was working so well. Let's see if we can bring Emily back up on stage. Emily, welcome back.
I didn't know I'd gone from stage.
Oh, LinkedIn. That's, you love LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn, it's there we go. I thought this is working so well, Emily. This is like you're not having a bad experience with being up on stage, but it just threw you off. I don't know what was going on there, but glad to see you back. Excellent. So yeah, what are the next steps? What are you thinking? Do you have any plans to document your experiences with this, which might also help other parts of the community, or or could this become a talk, or what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I need to have some outcomes before I can talk about it wider. In terms of my actual next step, so I've kind of floated the idea past the team as to how this can get adopted. I've got some willing volunteers, and then I've got some more challenging projects. So like I said, we're split across a variety of projects. So I'm hoping to get a mix of willing volunteers and people who might be a bit more reluctant to tease out, you know, how this is going to work for the company. So we've not got that bias of, you know, people want it to work, so it works. And so to see if it really does escalate, you know, we've got an issue here where the regression pack was not up to date because the tester was busy with particular things. How does that actually impact the overall project and stuff like that? I think it would be a good article. I'm not sure if it would be a good talk because there's so many different ways that it could play out, and there's so many different bits. Not all of it's going to be relevant to you or your organization. But yeah, I could definitely do that.
Loving it. It's just so much kind of, because I, you know, let's make some assumptions that other folks are trying out there to kind of marry up principles with tangible things that they can, you know, actual mm-hmm. action or actual processes they can implement. So I think that the way that you're defining those principles and then trying to get buy-in from people and inspire them to also, you know, be up for trying these things and get stuck in. Wow, that's epic. I mean, maybe, I guess, you know, just putting it out there, and this is for the audience as well as yourself, Emily. So we recently launched a thing at Ministry of Testing called 404 Talks. So 404, one of our favorite numbers. but essentially, we ask folks to record a video that's 4 minutes and 4 seconds long. And don't worry if you go slightly over or under, we can sort out the editing. But yeah, if folks have a dedicated talk, a real short form talk, and it could be a series of these shorter conversations where you're literally just describing something to the camera. We're experimenting with that at the moment. So there is a way for folks to get involved. If you go to ministrytesting.com/contribute, you can submit an idea and tick a little box that says, I'm interested in doing a 404 talk. But that's for the audience, Emily. It's not putting pressure on you, hopefully, more just for folks in general to consider something they might want to, you know, collaborate on with Ministry of Testing.
No, I think that sounds great. I was immediately like looking through, you know, what I've been working on this week. I could do 4 minutes on how logs being useful and not too spammy.
Oh my goodness me! Please do that. Honestly,
the observability of a system helps you to find the root cause of a bug. I do 4 minutes on every single one of these.
Oh my goodness, Emily! Seriously. Like the amount of times I grep a log and it just be a mess because it's in debug mode or whatever. And it's just all this stuff coming out. You're like, what? How am I going to, you know, it's just a mess. So I think, yeah, 4 minute slam dunk of like, look, this is how you can clean up your mess and how you can parse your logs in a way that's useful and helpful. I imagine I place a heavy bet that a lot of people would be interested in that video.
I saw a post on LinkedIn. I don't know if it was this week, but Ben just talking about you don't have to do automation to be a technical tester. And I think just being comfortable to look at some logs is a really technical thing that maybe testers take for granted.
Yeah, such a good point. AJ, go for it.
I was going to say, because we were talking about logs, I love logs. I love data, but I just had this image in my head of you riding a log flume in an amusement park, and that being you, like you talking about your journey with logs and logging. Sorry, that just popped in my head.
Get some AI image creation on that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that would be amazing.
And then the big finale with the water covering you.
That would be epic. And I think that reminds me, AJ, I think you shared with me earlier today, actually. Yeah, it was earlier today, about a picture of your dog in the woods looking at logs, which I thought was brilliant. Excellent. Yeah, I think, Emily, you reminded me, actually, there was something someone shared this week. Was it Keith Klain? Yeah, I've got it here, actually, as a quote. You mentioned about, like, the fear that us testing professionals perhaps can have about, oh, we're not technical enough, or we need to do this, that, and we you know, we're not good enough. And Keith, it was a comment on a LinkedIn post, and he said the following: I am leading a very large enterprise transformation end-to-end testing effort made up of a mix of junior and experienced testers and folks from the business. And we are finding deep, complicated defects really, really quickly with exactly zero automation, zero. And Keith's point was kind of emphasizing that even if we're not getting into the, you know, the world of automation, and that can be made up in many ways, as often discussed, it's that ability to still add value as a testing professional, even if we may perhaps be labeled by others as non-technical, or perhaps in ourselves we feel that we're not technical enough. And I think your reminder there, Emily, of being able to dig into the logs and look under the hood, or look at the network tab on DevTools, for example, can really make a difference. It can open up your world when it comes to testing and experiencing, kind of seeing things from a slightly different angle, and that detective side of what we do as professional testers. Thank you for sharing that, Emily. That's really cool.
No, cool. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, feel free to stick around up on stage, Emily. You're more than welcome to get involved wherever the conversation may go. I'll just do a time check. We've got another 25 minutes or so. So yeah, for those who are listening, thank you for sticking around. I do very much appreciate it. And if you want to come up on stage, maybe you want to continue the conversation that Emily has started. Perhaps you have some questions that you want to ask, or maybe there's something else that's on your mind that's happening where you're like, oh, you know what? I really want to get some advice on this, or I just want to share this cool thing that I've been doing, or I want to celebrate something that someone else has been up to in the community. Now's a good time to do it. Hopefully by now that you kind of understand that this is a welcoming event, that you'll be brought up on stage. And if it is perhaps the first time coming up on stage speaking, hopefully we can make things as straightforward as possible for you to have the confidence to join us. So I'm going to go silent for a little bit and see if anyone puts their hands up.
AJ. The reason we go quiet a little bit, just to give some context to some people, is we do appreciate there's some people listening on mobile. And they might be on the train or the bus, and they need time to get to the unmute button or to put their hand up button. So we're always conscious of making sure we make this accessible. Oh, hi, Emily.
Yay, Emily's back. Let's bring Emily back up on stage.
But if no one does ask a question, I learned something really cool this week that I wouldn't mind sharing, but I can hold it until another time. Hi, Emily.
I have no idea what's going on. Sorry about that.
Is it LinkedIn again? Yeah. It's in the hokey cookie.
I was just going to ask the audience if there's any other locations where you have the Ministry of Testing meetup that's in person, but it doesn't happen every month, and you share with another local town or city, or you swap between office locations. Maybe you do one in person and then one remote, just so that it's accessible to as many people as possible. I don't know if that's normal. I mean, for us in Leeds, it is, but is that a common experience? Because I really love to meet people who work in different industries and have different experiences. So I try and go to as many as I can. But obviously I've got to get the train and jump around the country a little bit.
Yeah, it's a great question, Emily. And I wonder if any folks in the audience have been part of those types of meetups. I think off the top of my head, there was often a bit of a switch between Coventry and Nottingham. I think they would sometimes share the effort and switch things up. I have a hunch now, or in fact, I know now that they're quite established as individual meetups, but I think historically there was a bit of a connection there. I think also the Manchester meetup perhaps would also switch with what used to be called, I think it was at the Liverpool Tester Gathering that used to be led by, I've forgotten their name. I can picture them in my head. But by Lee Rathbone, who has put their hand up. That's great timing, Lee. Wonderful. Let's bring Lee up on stage because Lee's got some good experiences co-organizing meetups. Lee, that was a wonderful moment. I had my hands in my head, looking down, thinking, "Oh, who used to run Liverpool?" And of course,
yeah,
it's like you read my frustration at not being able to quickly remember your name, Lee. So welcome.
Don't worry, Simon. I'm easily forgettable.
I don't mean that, and I really hope I haven't offended you by saying that, Lee.
No, I said in jest. Just to Emily's point, we didn't all tonight, and that's why I actually put my hand up just before you mentioned Liverpool. We were two very, very separate meetups. We tried to go under the umbrella of the Northwest meetup scene, and it just didn't work. Both meetups had different visions. We wanted to be punk. We wanted to be anti-establishment. That's we, as in Liverpool. We wanted ours to be raucous and to be off the scale completely. And that was at loggerheads as to how the Manchester meetup wanted to run. So we did become very early on two very, very separate meetups because we had completely two different visions as to how a meetup should be run.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
How do you imagine your raucous meetups? How are they raucous? What do you mean by that?
At that point, I'm going back to, God, probably 2015, meetups were quite dry. And I'll give you the example. You'd be asked to sit down. Somebody would stand at the front and say, "Here's the first speaker." The first speaker would give their talk. And it was all very dry. There was very little effort put into putting the crowd as at the centre of the meetup. So we made sure we put the crowd at the centre of our meetup. The stars of the show, there were none. The stars of the show were actually the people that turned up and gave up their time where they could have spent their time doing 1,001 other things. We made sure that they were the stars. So we spent the first sort of half hour of the meetup doing intros, going around the room. We were streaming live on Facebook and Twitter back in 2015 and 16. We asked all newcomers to introduce themselves. And we just spent half an hour, maybe longer sometimes, just warming the room up and going around the room and giving those people that wanted to speak a chance to speak and introduce themselves. And that's not for everyone. So we had to make sure the space was safe. But what that caused or created was a very relaxed atmosphere. And we had a compere that was completely off the scale. He was off the scale. He just put energy into the room and created a vibe that just felt like no other meetup that we went to. And that's not my words. Those are the words from people like Dan Ashby, Lisa Crispin, Ash Winter, who's already been mentioned today, Gwen. They all fed back that there was an energy in the meetup that they'd never seen before.
Okay, that's fantastic. That sounds really fun.
Yeah. Fun is a bit of an underestimate. It was. The feedback we had was it felt like going to an indie band concert. You know, that kind of edgy energy that indie bands can create because indie bands are not a polished act. That was the feedback we had from one of the sponsors.
I love it, Lee. And my apologies for getting my history wrong. I'm glad to be corrected on that. There are two very different meetups.
Yeah.
But I think I got in a muddle with the attempt to try and group the Northwest as one option. But yeah, really appreciate you sharing that, Lee. And of course, super grateful for all that you do with the Ministry of Testing and your hosting. I mean, you talk about compares. Your hosting is epic, and you've hosted many a test bash. For those who are unfamiliar, a test bash is an annual conference that we put on at Ministry of Testing, and our latest test bash is happening in September. So it's coming just around the corner. in the south of England, in the UK, in a place called Brighton. So if folks can get themselves to Brighton in September, do have a look on ministryoftesting.com/events, and you'll see it on the list there. But yeah, Lee, super grateful. Always enjoy your hosting, and yeah, very much enjoy what you have to share as well. So thanks for joining the stage, Lee. It's brilliant.
Thanks, Simon.
Emily, does that help with your question? I know I'm keeping an eye out to see if other folks are putting their hands up who have experience with other meetups that can perhaps share their experiences of them, what they've enjoyed about being part of those meetups, whether they've done a switcheroo with another local meetup. But we'll keep a lookout for that. But it looks like we've lost Emily again through the powers of buggy LinkedIn. So
yeah, I think she knows someone that works at LinkedIn. Yes, yeah. They've put some Easter code on her profile.
That's it. We'll randomly pick a time and just boot her off in every minutes or 8 minutes. But AJ, yeah, what was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
Lee
has gone. Oh, wow.
He's gone completely, so he may have lost signal. What I was going to talk about was, I was going to test batch anyway because I go all the time, but what I noticed that, because I've been looking into it in more detail, one of the things we've been talking about this week is generative AI. And I just realized that we've got some specialists from Google talking. How cool is that? And the thing they're talking about is the security threats if you use generative AI. And they're going to be talking about things like how to put defense mechanisms in there to mitigate it. And I haven't been to any talk here or the rest of Europe, even GIS Nation, no one was talking about that. And I'm just really intrigued if anyone listening has experience with just doing research into that kind of security aspect of generative AI, or if it's something they're interested in. I think it's a really nice topic. And for anyone who hasn't got experience with generative AI, it's a form of AI that generates content, and it can be based on a data model of images, sounds, artwork, text. If you want to create content in any format, it's a good tool, and a lot of companies have integrated it. So many people are using it without realizing, and that's obviously a security issue for some people, which is why it's being banned and there's governance being put in certain countries like Spain that you have to prove you've not used it, that type of thing. So I'm just quite intrigued if that's something anyone's been reading up on or interested in. And it's really cool we've got people from Google coming to talk about it. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? It's really cool. And it's one of those topics that needs deeper exploration. So yeah, folks, if you're listening and you want to pop up on stage and tell us about your experiences, now's a good opportunity to do so. Also, a good reminder, if you're kind of thinking this AI in testing thing, everyone's talking about it, there's a bit of hype, there's a bit of buzz, understandably so, I would recommend checking out the 30 Days of AI in Testing challenge that we have at Ministry of Testing. So if you go to ministryoftesting.com, search for 30 Days of AI in Testing, you'll get access to a month's worth of challenges. So one challenge per day. They are hosted on the club. So our forum, club.ministryoftesting.com. And it just helps you get into the world of AI in testing. It can feel quite overwhelming, but there's lots of activities that starts off pretty straightforward and then gets a bit more deeper towards the end of the 30 days. But that is open to everyone. You can access it right now. It's not a paid for course. It's just an open challenge that we were really excited to set up. And it's been super popular, actually. So we ran it earlier on in the year, collectively as a community, but you can go back to it anytime you want, and people are still taking it. Folks are still jumping on the forum now, going through and working through the daily challenges. And perhaps you may choose to skip a few days or jump ahead to the section around several days around prompt engineering, maybe you want to jump straight to there, but it's definitely worth checking out. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And you also get to learn from the people that have been through it already, because they share their comments on the forum threads. So you'll learn so much from everyone else in the community, and then you can contribute back as well. So that's one to check out for sure.
Yeah, just on that, one of the, I'll mention Melissa because I can see them listening. Hello. Melissa was really great, which is great in general, to be fair. When they experience something, just sharing little wonderful nuggets of information and sharing their experience. And what I noticed is about 4 months ago now, so it was a while. But Melissa was really great at sharing the research, and really great at sharing on LinkedIn, for example, like ChatGPT prompts, like just people that she learned from. I think it's just a really great world and connecting web of information that we have in the community. So yeah, I would really, if you can find anything in the forum or on LinkedIn that Melissa's written, it's really good, if that helps you.
Love it. And I'm going to assume they're AJ, because I'm scrolling through our listeners, Melissa Fisher for a full name.
Yes, sorry.
No, that's fine. No, that's...
Melissa Fisher, yeah.
That's cool, just for the audience. Melissa Fisher, just to amplify what you shared there, AJ is very good at sharing her experiences and spotting things and thinking out loud and putting it out there. So, yeah,
wonderful. Yeah, in just such a friendly, open way. It's not about I'm right, you're wrong. Melissa's really good at having conversations with people and interacting and hearing all sides of it. So if anyone wants to give her a follow, I would definitely urge you to.
100%.
I can see that Lee's got their hand up. I'll try and bring him in. Oh, I can't do it.
let me give it a try, AJ. Let's see. It
World might be tonight.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Lee, we're going to try and get you back up on stage. One moment. Come on, LinkedIn, do your thing. Lee, welcome back to the stage.
Yeah, I just wanted to tap into two things that AJ said. First of all, yeah, Melissa Fisher is brilliant, so give her a follow. One of my favourite people in the community. But just AJ mentioned prompt engineering, and I genuinely feel that, if I roll back 20 years ago, on job descriptions, there was things like you must be able to use Microsoft Office. Well, now that's just like saying you should be able to breathe oxygen. I do think prompt engineering is going to become something like that. So if we move forward 10 years from now, I do actually think prompt engineering is going to be such a thing that it's going to be a given that everyone can do it. So I think it will become a bit like that Microsoft Office comment that I made. So anybody that can get ahead of the curve and look at the prompt engineering courses, that there's so many of them out there now, but that would be my advice around anything AI is get to grips with prompt engineering.
I think that's a great point, Lee. One of the things me and Simon, we were on an event together a long time ago, not 20 years, but a long time. And we were having conversations with the community, and we noticed that there's a lot more requests and interviews and people asking questions like, have you used ChatGPT? Are you using prompts? Do you know how to do prompts? Do you have that skill set? It's like the new Google Foo. Do you know how to search for things? Do you know how to get the best result from the information that you want? I think you're spot on that it's something that people have to get a bit more adapt, and that even if they don't have to do it, but just talk about it and understand the benefits of some of it. And then also what to be careful of, not just the positives, but the negatives. That all data is biased and where are you getting that data from? So I think it's a really good point. It's something that we should all be able to discuss as testers.
Yeah, we've just had a QA day here at Cavu where the QAs, we all come in on site and we do a bit of fun exercises. And one of the exercises that the senior QAs set was we had to create a test framework using only ChatGPT. And that was really interesting. So that really pushed people to think about the prompts and the prompt engineering side of things. So that was a fun but interesting exercise. I think you're right, AJ. It's definitely going to become the thing.
Are you going to write about it, Lee? I think that's really interesting.
Sorry, what was that, AJ?
Are you going to write about that experience and like what you learned as a group? Or
I was actually off sick with COVID at the time, and I'm hoping one of my senior QAs will sort of take the brave step of writing something on LinkedIn.
Because I'd love to read about that.
Yeah, it was a great exercise. What I've decided to do with our QA days is I've handed over the running of them to the team. So instead of it being set by me as head of QA, I've now hand it over to the community, and they now drive it. So we always get pairs of volunteers to run the day, and then that pair decide what tasks or what fun things we're going to do. So that's how it came about. And it just shows the power of handing over, you know, the running of these days to others, because you get all kinds of different things and magic happening and forming.
Oh, my dog's growling. A cat, sorry, doesn't like that log. The reason, it's kind of selfish reasons I'm interested. I'm running a prompt session in September, but not here in Mauritius. So I would love to understand like the lessons learned from someone else so that I can then share that with that group as well. I think it's really fascinating. Yeah, if you can nudge someone, and if they take cake bribes or Lego bribes, I'm happy to throw stuff their way.
Okay, AJ, thank you.
I also feel, Lee, if there's any way we could gate crash your QA days, they sound great. I just want to be part of them the way you describe them. Kind of like like instead of what gate crashes, I don't know, what bug crashes or something like that. Maybe there's a sneaky way some of the folks from Ministry of Testing could sneak in and observe and listen.
In logs, that's what we're doing. Logging, observability.
Yeah, that's it.
Understanding, looking for anomalies.
Absolutely.
Well, it takes a familiar theme, our QA days, because funnily enough, I'm going to use the same words again. They're raucous, they're full of energy. There's an energy in the room. And it's really important as a leader that you work out who puts energy in the room, how you put energy in the room, because I think as leaders, that's your role, to put energy into the room and give to others the energy to give them the bravery to go and express themselves. So yeah, it's quite an energetic group, let's put it that way.
That's actually a good point, Lee. So when you've got that much energy in a room, how do you protect the people that are more introverted or that they're more of a thinker and they might not interact at the same level as everyone else? How do you kind of protect them and make sure there's like psychological safety's there and that type of thing?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, not everybody likes a task to be thrown at them on the spot. So we always make sure that all the tasks are up front and with a couple of weeks' notice. Now, that's just like a retro. I hate going into a retro on the spot. And I don't know how everybody else feels on the call, but I always feel under pressure. I never feel that I give the true Lee Rathbone in a retro where I just enter unprepared. What I like with a retro is for the board to be opened up as quickly as possible, usually straight after the retro is finished. So it allows people to add as you go. And we take the same sort of ethos when we run our QA days. We try and give 2-3 weeks notice as to what we're going to do. We tend to have breakout spaces for people. I think very carefully about who I pair with others. And I, when I say think carefully, I mean, that can take me half a day of just thinking about people's personalities, the introvert, extrovert, how people like to learn. And the only way you can do all this is by getting to know your people as a leader. So I think if you get to know your people and you get to know who the introverts are, who the extroverts are, then pairing people up carefully and putting them in the right groups so that they can have a voice, making sure that there's a facilitator in each group that understands about the introverts, extroverts, and people on the neurodivergent, so people that understand that is really, really important. I find myself stepping in and asking people that can be vocal and that can speak quite a lot to sort of make space for others as well. So I think it's a combination of things. There's not one thing there, AJ. I think empathy and just understanding people, getting to know the people that you're leading, is probably how I'd summarize that.
Okay. And the reason I'm just intrigued, the reason I'm asking is I've got visible and hidden disabilities. And some of the hidden ones, for example, like neurodiversity, I don't normally feel comfortable telling everyone at every meetup or every session. If it's like a QE away day, for example, I used to use a manual of me. I don't know if you've heard of that term.
The haven't I, Jaina?
So it's like, think of it like a crib sheet or a one-liner or like a car manual saying, this is how I like feedback and this is what I can cope with. This is what technical solutions I need, like captions, if it's certain technology that's being used. This is how much time I can concentrate on a certain thing before I need a break. And just that kind of thing. Just ways of working, like, but for myself.
Loving it.
I'm just wondering, because you do get, I saw a really great talk by the founder of Bumble and Badoo at a Women's Tech Conference, and they were talking about introverted extroverts and extroverted introverts and how do you, like, help them and how do you manage them and how do you support them as leaders. And so I'm always intrigued on how these sessions are run by people.
Yeah, I'm forever scanning and trying to read the room. And I wouldn't say I'm an expert in any of this, AJ, whatsoever, but I am always watching the room for safety, for signals, for body language. And I think this all boils back down to knowing the people that you're leading. And sometimes you have to be really firm and step in if you think somebody's safety has been compromised in some way. I do think regular breaks are good for everyone, irrespective of, you know, anything that anybody has. I think regular breaks are healthy for energy, healthy for rebooting, healthy for having those little one-to-one conversations with people about behaviours or making sure people are okay. So regular breaks is a thing with our QA days.
Loving it. So folks, I've just spotted the time and we are coming to the end of This Week in Testing. So I think it's probably time we wrap things up for today. Super grateful for those who have joined us on stage. AJ, joining through the powers of LinkedIn, but very grateful to co-host with you today. Perhaps we can make this official and keep doing the co-hosting now because it's a lot easier to do it. Now we work together. Lovely to hear from Emily. I got a message just to say that Emily had to jump offline, but thank you for having us. And Lee, so good to have you up on stage. I think you've been up on stage before, but I think I missed it up in a previous time. I think Ben Doan might have been hosting at the time, or perhaps AJ. So thank you so much, everyone who has listened today. Keep the conversations happening. Let's find ways to help each other out. This is what it is really about, for us to take action and do things to move this craft forward, to move our careers forward and to support each other and to feel connected. It's really important that we keep doing what we do to stay connected and support each other. But thank you for today. We're going to sign off and we will catch up with you another time. We aim to do this most weeks at the same time. If you have any thoughts or feedback, please do connect with us. There's all sorts of different ways, but I would suggest try ministryoftesting.com. You could start a little chat there and one of us will pick that up. In the meantime, if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, I encourage you to do so. So you go to ministryoftesting.com/newsletter, put your email address in there, and we aim to send out the newsletter with a good summary of what's been happening in the testing community every week. And it's a lovely way to celebrate the community every week and find out who's sharing the good stuff and find ways to connect with them. AJ, would you like to share anything before we officially shut things down?
No, I just I loved having everyone up today. It was really great conversations. And Lee, if you ever want to have a fireside chat, I'd be up for it. I love talking to you as well. And Emily, it was really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Okay, folks, well, let's sign off for today. Please do enjoy the rest of your day wherever you may be and have a lovely weekend. Bye for now.